see the sun, even though it's not here right now. But show the love and feel the love. Again, blackness will save us, blackness will save us, blackness will save us. With three comes to being when we see we'll all be free. And be great. Be great. Protect each other. And love each other. Like Jill Scott's guide you. History that made me cry and storm my strife, so I changed my mind. You know, I say peace. Even the opinions of other people couldn't like my life, nor deter my sight, nor wrong my rights, nor guide my life, or delay my flight. I'm flying hard now, above on the cloud to your love. I only get what I put into it. I spend my sweet time.
Walk into this room, and I'm gonna let them see God, Jehovah's will all over me. And they ain't nothing they can do with that. Maybe.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, online and archived at kfai.org, the community's true voice.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org. Non-commercial and community-powered radio. Support for this program comes from KFAI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners like you. Chi miigwech. Bonjour, relatives across our great Turtle Island and beyond. This is Deanna Standingcloud, your host for the next hour on Medicine Bundle, the show celebrating Indigenous people and our allies as we creatively embrace our gifts of healing and connection. What's in your medicine bundle?
Time just at me and say it with your chest. Less on my soul, yeah, you couldn't say less. You playing checkers, but I'm playing chess. Boy, you act on my ex, got a lot to address. How am I pretending Resi when I'm booked on the red? How am I pretending and blood condoms in the red? Got a tribal ID if you wanna act like the feds. Supposed to be a gorilla, so let me show you what that is. I'm praying for you.
Buju, Turtle Island, you are listening to Medicine Bundle, and this is your host, Deanna Standingcloud, and I am here at my home studio this week. It is the middle of summer, midsummer in July of 2026, and time is just really going by pretty fast. But it is such a blessing every day to be able to get up and face the world another day. So I want to shout out to Gijimani Du and all my spirit helpers for helping with that. And, so I am just going to kind of like freestyle this week's episode. I kind of want to reflect also and share, a little bit of, things that I've been working on in the past week. I'm also an independent producer for Ampers, and it's been kind of eye-opening to be able to work on certain stories. For example, I was promoted to work on this program called MN90, and it's a series for, you know, like 90 seconds worth of history. And I've just been doing a little bit of research on the things that I want to cover. And the two stories that I've pulled together so far was actually a family story. So my relative is one of the first women, first Native women on the cover of Vogue, and that was in the 70s during the Yusequake movement. So covering that and like digging into a little bit of the history and kind of what life was like back then, and kind of the vision that people had at the time, because when there are innovators you know, in history, it's just fascinating to think about what their perspective is on the world and how it is in that moment in time. And I suppose it's equally fascinating to think about what our current generation is experiencing in their mind and how they see the world in 2026. And it was really great. And then I was digging kind of deep into just exploring more things and reading about historical people, including Bagono Gijik the Younger and Tail Feather Woman. And also I ran into a video about Battle Point, and from that video, it was very, it wasn't from a Native perspective at all. So I could tell right away just by the slant that was presenting in the story. So, it's just been really great. So from kind of the inspiration that I've had of the past week or two, I wanted to share with you on Medicine Bundle. So I don't have a guest with me today on the show, but I wanted just to share a little bit of kind of the stuff that I've been experiencing. So last week I traveled with my daughter and my sister and nieces and nephews to the Seneca Reservation for their powwow. So Salamanca powwow, which is near Buffalo, and it's in Salamanca, New York, right on, there's a reservation, an allotted reservation. But yeah, it was really cool. I want to share a smoke dance song. They're very short, but they're like powerful. So if you've ever experienced a smoke dance with the Haudenosaunee people, you see they're like super potent. They're super short, but it's just mesmerizing to see. It's almost like they're floating, and they're so on point with the beats, and it's really incredible to watch. So I got to watch smoke dancers, and from a Haudenosaunee perspective, the powwow over there was different than how we kind of the protocols of the powwow here in Minnesota. So it was the grand entry was kind of like secondary. So a lot of the smoke dancers, all of the smoke dancers came out first, which was really cool to see, because it just shows how that regional influence has on the powwow circuit, you know? And I was also really honored to be able to participate in a Haudenosaunee Seneca centered star knowledge presentation, and that also got me thinking about our star knowledge, and also listening to the stories. So they shared their star stories and how very, very similar they are to Anishinaabe creation stories and star stories. So it was just really fascinating to hear the star stories and hear about the Milky Way and the Pleiades and what that star cluster really means to our people. And it's very, very similar. So I wanted to share a little bit of our star stories as Anishinaabe, and especially when it comes to birds. So for some reason, this summer especially, birds have been a huge influence on me, which is, I don't know, it was kind of like after I went to ceremony and after a lot of healing had been done in my life, I just started to have like these extra sensory type of vibes, you know, like I'm noticing the birds a lot. I'm noticing just little things in nature, and I've always kind of been like that, but it just seems like there's another added layer dimension to it. So I wanted to share a star story. It's a bird story who is a very prominent part of Anishinaabe star knowledge. So for Anishinaabe, the North Star, so the Loon constellation is a part of the North Star. So if you take a look at the Big Dipper up in the sky, and everyone really know, you know, that's kind of like the most identifiable constellation that is commonly known now is the Big Dipper. To us, the Big Dipper is the Fisher. So, and the Fisher's tail, so like the handle, and then you kind of follow that up and you find the North Star, and that's where the Loon or Mong constellation is. So I'm going to read the story of Mong out of the Charles Gorolla book, Benasi Debajamowinan, Ojibwe Bird Story. So I'm going to share that bird story, and this episode will also include lots of music. So I'm going to share a story and then also share some music. So So Hmong is the Ojibwe name for the common loon. Hmong is a clan bird. There are many Ojibwe families that identify as Hmong clan. I'm not sure what the Ojibwe word Hmong is describing about the bird. Many elders are not clear on the meaning either, but I was told by one elder that they thought the word Hmong is describing the call that they make. Hmong live on the lakes and eat fish. They also carry their babies around on their backs while they're swimming. In the beginning, when everything was created, Hmong was not yet created. Like the Mune Guane, Hmong came into existence later. There are two legends that have heard about Hmong. I will share them with you. There was an Ojibwe village on a large, beautiful lake. The village had stood for many years, and a good amount of Ojibwe lived there. An old woman and her grandson lived in this village near the lake, close to the water's edge. Just the boy and his grandmother lived together. It is unknown where his parents were or what happened to them. The grandson was still very young and small. The little boy called his grandmother Nokomis, or my grandmother. Nokomis called the young boy Nujis, my grandson. The boy learned everything from his grandmother. It was the fall of the year and the cold wind started to blow as the people began to set whitefish nets in this lake. The boy had disappeared one day, and as the grandmother started to search for him, so did the villagers. The boy was found playing in the dried fallen leaves in a clearing near the lake. The men who found him said that it looked like the cold north wind was playing with the boy and entertaining him. After this, the people noticed the boy seemed to communicate with the wind and the trees as he walked around the village. People of the village saw and felt the relationship between the north wind and the boy. One day, while playing, the boy went to the cliff that overlooked the lake. The wind was very strong on this cliff, and as the boy jumped and played, a gust of wind blew the boy up into the air and over the cliff he went. The boy fell on the rocks down below the cliff and was injured. His legs were not broken, but he was deformed. He could not walk the same anymore and moved very slowly. After the winter months, he was not the same. Even though he had healed, the grandmother consulted several medicine men and none could fix his legs. The summer came and the boy liked being in the water more than being in the on the land. He moved around better in the water because of his injuries. The boy's legs were very short and seemed not to be growing. The boy was a strong swimmer and was good at many chores the water had for him. Even as he got older and did not accompany the men on war or hunting expeditions, he found ways to help his people in the water. Some people talked about how successful he was in catching fish. He could swim after fish and catch them. He began to know the fish so well, he always knew where the fishermen could find the fish they desired. As he got older, his voice changed, and his war whoops were a sound they never heard before. He would give a scream when the canoes approached, letting everyone know either visitors or enemies were near and approaching from the water. One year, a different breeze blew across the lake. The elders knew what the war was. They had felt it for a long, long ago. They had felt it long, long ago. It was a water monster, a monster known for killing and eating Anishinaabeg. The fish disappeared and were not plentiful. The lake did not have the ducks and the geese that it once had. The village was worried and everyone met to discuss their options. They met in council and it was decided that a war party would go out and destroy the monster, or at least drive it from the lake and away from their village. Elders said that it is how their people had done it in the past. The men, the best warriors, drove the monster from the lake. 8 of the strongest and fastest warriors set out, left by canoe, and were never seen again. The medicine men in the village had held a ceremony, but this only angered the monster even more. Another war party was sent out, and they were also not seen again. Only their canoes were found later along the shore empty. The boy went to the chief's lodge and volunteered to go and fight the monster, as his grandmother begged him not to go. Grandmother told the chief that the boy was not a strong warrior and he would surely be killed. She cried as the chief smoked his pipe. The chief gave him permission to go and fight the monster. The chief gave him a small black feather with white spots on it, and he told him that he would send his war spirits to help him on his war expedition. The grandmother wept as her grandson left the village that evening. Under the cover of the darkness, and while a thunderstorm came over the lake, the boy planned to sneak up on his enemy and kill it. The boy swam off. The waves were big as he swam under them, only coming up for air as needed. He soon arrived where the monster is said to live, in the woods just past the beach. He readied his bow and arrow, and he stayed in the water and moved along the shore. He gave out a call of a goose and then a duck to let the chief know from across the lake he was at the beach. The monster heard this and also knew was another war party. The monster immediately got up and came barreling down the beach. The boy looked at the beach, illuminated at night because of the sand, and as he watched, he heard the monster approach through the woods, arriving on the sand. The boy drew back his bow and took aim. He fired the arrows and hit the monster in the chest. The monster was knocked down but got up and wondered how the arrow had been able to pierce him. This was no ordinary arrow. This was an arrow blessed by Nanabuju himself in case a monster such as this was ever to threaten the village. The monster, now dying, ran after the boy, catching and violently beating him. The storm had picked up, and the gusts of wind and waves were hitting the shore as the monster threw the beaten boy into the rocks. The monster died on the shore in the sand. The next morning, the storm subsided and the lake calmed. The chief, along with a few of the men, crossed the lake. They built a big fire and burnt the monster. They could not find the boy or any trace of him. That afternoon, as they started to give up on finding the boy, a loud scream came from the lake. It sounded like the boy's war whoop, and it came from a strange-looking duck they had never seen before. It was Mung. He called out several times and dove under the water and came up again. The grandmother knew this was her boy. That night, the old woman dreamt of her grandson. He came to see her in her dream. He told her what had happened upon killing the monster. He was killed by the monster in the final moments, where he lay dead on the rocks, his spirit drifting from his body. Nanabuju showed up and told him, "I cannot give you your life back, but I will change you into a beautiful bird that easily catches fish and sings when the rain is coming." Nanabuju changed him into the Hmong. He was a new bird that would always be seen throughout Ojibwe country. Hmong and Nanabuju remain forever good friends. Thank you for listening to the story. We're going to take a quick little break. I'm going to share some smoke dance songs and just share whatever's on my heart. Man, I love you guys. All right. You are listening to Medicine Bundle.
Hey, 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 hey. At North Point, you're cared for by a team that listens to you and supports your medical and behavioral health. Whether you're a new or returning patient, make an appointment that fits your schedule. See us in person, on video, or over the phone. We can help you with insurance, discounts, and payment plans. call 612-543-2500 or visit northpointhealth.org/start. North Point, your health, our priority.
Bonjour, Anishinaabe Duk. We are back. This is Medicine Bundle. You're listening to KFAI 90.3 Fresh Air Community Radio and around the world at KFAI.org. So welcome to July. It is Friday. It's such an honor to be here with you on your Friday evening. Sometimes it's a commute because sometimes our commutes take longer and longer as the years go by, especially with the construction and all. So it's just really a pleasure and an honor to like get feedback from people who are listening to Medicine Bundle, and to have such brilliant conversations with amazing leaders in the community. So I thank you for listening to the story about Hmong. I was so inspired after attending the Star Knowledge workshop, the Haudenosaunee, just to kind of get back into like reading about star knowledge, asking people. You know, I think that there's something to be said for reaching out to people, especially nowadays. I know we don't always get to be with one another, but just that intention of like, hey, I want to pick your brain. And I think one of the things too that I want to do, one of the projects that I would love to embark on, is just like recording my dad. Like, my dad will come to visit me here. He'll drive all the way from Grand Portage on the res just to visit. He'll bring his daughter Teresta, and my daughter and his daughter just are totally, they just play so well and they have such a good time together. And we kind of like plan activities around our kids. So it's actually really fun to like have my dad as like a also like a fellow single parent, and like we get to have play dates and stuff. It's kind of cool. But so he'll come all the way down, and sometimes we'll just be sitting there and he'll just start rattling off this whole like historical account of like our family, and he'll talk about like who's related to who and all these crazy stories about my grandpa. So I'm like, man, I have to capture some of this stuff because it's truly in the now that we, you know, we don't realize how amazing it is in the present moment. So I'm trying to be more mindful of like documenting a lot of that for just our historical, kind of like our family story, and just even the funny stories, or even our birth stories too, because, you know, I was told my birth story from my mom, and my mom was very young at the time, and it was very cold. So in Minnesota in January, especially in 1979, I mean, it's climate change and things. So it might, you know, it was probably super cold. And one of the stories was actually like when I was being born at Hennepin County Medical Center on Chicago Avenue. There's a birth center down there, and I, you know, I don't know if they called it that back in 79, but it was just where a delivery, you know, babies were born. So that's where I was born. And my family would always tell me a story, or, you know, my grandma, that she was home, but they got robbed. Like, they got a home invasion, like, had happened, in the hood. So we lived on 24th and Bloomington, and there was a home invasion, and they got robbed took all money and stuff. So it was kind of wild that my mom in her pregnancy wasn't there, and she was safe. And I mean, nobody got hurt in the robbery. I actually think it might have been like people they knew and like came over, and so I don't know. I'm not sure if it was reported to the police or what. So it's just wild, you know, wild hood Indian families. But those are just some of that's the birth story. And my mom was in so much pain, and she was so young. And I think, you know, it was kind of traumatic for her, and especially for Native women giving birth in these institutions. You know, who knows what it was like in the climate, you know, back in the day, or I'm not sure, but so she had a traumatic experience. And if you are a Native woman and you've ever had a tragic birth experience, I just want to offer my healing thoughts for that time, because it's a powerful time for us as Native women, and for it to be a traumatic event in the confines of an institution is traumatic. And it's such a core memory. So my heart goes out to you, and my thoughts go out to you. And you know, you deserve to feel safe, and you deserve not to have those traumatic things happen. So I don't know. I went off on a tangent because I was thinking about birth stories and family stories and things like that, the Bajamo in your family. But I'm all over the place today on this Friday. But I just want to thank you all. I'm going to share some more jams here. And I just want to encourage you all to dig into star knowledge, dig into even just learning a couple of words in our language, or learning a plant, or just really being outside and being kind of aware of us in our natural, in the natural world. Because I've come to this place in my mindset, and it's just like I'm allowing the earth to kind of heal me and be in relationship with the earth, and being acknowledging of the beauty around the earth. So I feel like that intentionality is also helping the medicine be received a little bit more. So I just want to encourage you all to learn, you know, take some time for yourself, offer some tobacco, take a cedar bath, you know, take care of yourself, because Medicine Bundle is really a place for us to talk about the ways that we heal and the ways that we are thriving as Indigenous people and BIPOC communities and just our world in general. So just wanted to share that. I love you. I'm just doing my auntie thing, but I'm going to share some gems, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
Show us number one to me. John Blaze, you crazy, you bad to the jizza, is a kizza, mizza, is a super duper fly, nigga say what, I don't know what it is, it's something about you, got me in a daze, you amaze, everything you do, John Blaze, you crazy, yeah, you bad to the jizza, is a kizza, mizza, is a super duper fly, nigga, yeah.